the agapeo, the love of God does something. It transforms. It'll transform your marriage. It'll transform the church. It'll transform you. It'll transform your wife. That's why we have to love our wives as Christ loved the church.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
It's great to have you tuning in for Pastor Bill's continuing study in the Epistle of Ephesians. Pastor's next message addresses the role of the Christian husband. The Apostle Paul writes, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." Now, Pastor Bill with today's message, Husbands, Love Your Wives.
Bibles this morning, we're in Ephesians, one of the greatest books in the world, actually. We're in chapter 5. We're going to be beginning this morning in verse 25. Now, just a quick review. You know, as we've entered in this last section, we continue, as I have said last Sunday, we continue to learn how to walk worthy of our calling. Now, we know that we imitate God as dear children. We walk in love and walk in light. We walk in wisdom, and we're called to honor God in our marriages. So when we come to Ephesians, loved one, listen, this is undoubtedly the greatest wisdom, the greatest counsel ever given to mankind when it comes to marriage, what marriage should be, and the role of the husband, the role of the wife, and so forth. This is just unbelievable to me. And so there's only one plan for the Christian marriage, and that's God's plan, not our plan. It's God's plan. Amen? So important that we do that. And the reason for that is because Christian marriages, they are different than any marriage in all of the world. I mean, study out marriages just today. Look at the different cultures and what they do in marriage. It'll blow you away. But God's word is so incredible. Marriage is not a contract, remember? Marriage is a covenant where God makes two unique individuals who love him one flesh. And that is a miracle, loved one. Now, the men and the women, listen, husbands, wives, as you already know, there are two things that you have to do if you're going to really have a marriage God's way. The first one is that you're going to have to obey Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, where it says, "Be ye not drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be ye being filled with the Holy Spirit." That is a command. In all godly marriages, all solid marriages, they have to start, the husband and the wife, they start right there because they're both being led by the Spirit. They're both walking in the Spirit. Amen? Amen. And they have the fruits of the Spirit. Now, if they will obey verse 18, then they will be obedient to verse 21, where it says, submitting one to another, husband and wife, submitting one to another, submitting yourselves one to another, in the fear of Christ. There is where it begins. See, as I've said repeatedly the last few Sundays, if the husband and the wife, if they do not obey verse 21, in other words, not their will, but God's will in their life, both of them in agreement with God's word, if they don't fulfill verse 21, they will never do 22. There's no reason to even go on to verse 22 where it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." Remember that mutual submission in the fear of Christ, again, it's where both of you walk in agreement. It's not the husband's will, the wife's will, it's God's will be done in your life. Now, we have 9 verses, men. These are the most incredible verses on marriage in the world. 9 verses talking about your role as a husband. You know, it doesn't matter if you've been married for 50 years or you're unmarried. I want the men to really listen to this. This is the highest, the finest counsel on marriage in all of the world in these 9 verses. So men, listen, please, please, right now, if you are not married or if you're a newlywed or whatever, listen to me, please, please prepare yourself for marriage before it ever happens. You know, you'd be amazed at how many Christian men and women, but we're talking about the guys this morning, they do not prepare themselves. They love the Lord. They're faithful in church, might even teach Sunday school, whatever, but they do not or have not ever prepared themselves for marriage before they get married. And man, I'm telling you, if you will do that, you will enter into marriage the right way. Because here's what happens, guys. When you say, I do, and she says, I do, and you become one flesh, something happens. You now have been given a God-given obligation. You are the spiritual leader of your home. And I'm going to tell you something. That is not an easy job at times. Amen? Oh, listen, it's demanding. And that's why I say you have to prepare now to have marriage the way God would have you have it. So when we get to verse 25, guys, remember that the word love there is not a noun, and we can't treat it as a noun. It is a verb. So when it says love your wife, this command, and it is a command, it's more than just saying, oh, honey, I love you. Baby, I love you. You know what I mean. I love you. I see you tonight. Love you. Love you. Love you. You know. No, listen. I don't know what that meant. I don't know where that came from, you know. It's just that anointing that you guys brought with you. No, listen, it's you demonstrate that love to your wife. It is a verb. So let's look at verse 25. It says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it. Now listen, did you know, gentlemen, that the word loved on your part and the loved on Christ's part is the exact same words, agapeo, okay? And so when we look at this here, this is not just your love. This is the highest kind of love in all of the universe. It's God's very own love. And there's no love greater than God's love. So this love here, it's not eros, which is that sensual love, and that's part of marriage as well. It's not phileo, which is a brotherly love or a family love. We practice phileo. But here, this is God's love. 1 John 4:8. God is what? Love. This is his very own love. This is the love that God showed at Calvary, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. This is not only the love that God showed at Calvary, this is the love of which is a fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, the agape of God, God's kind of love, the unconditional love of God, the love that never, ever changes. This is also, gentlemen, the love that God has poured out into every believer's heart, Romans 5:5. It dwells in you right now. All of God's love, it is right here because the Holy Spirit has invaded you and you are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Question now, why in the world would God command the man, the husband, to love his wife? You know, if you've been through counseling with me, I always talk about that. Why? I mean, you love her. Amen? Three people? No, you love her. That's why you married her. You don't want to marry someone you don't want to be with. You fell in love. You know that yummy, 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 got loving. You know that, yeah. Come on. Man, you know, I mean, something happened in your life. Isn't that amazing how it happens? You know, I mean, you see her, you fall in love. Isn't that an exciting adventure? You know, where you stay up all night talking on the phone and man, or you stay up and you talk all night to her, say at a restaurant or wherever you're at, and then you go to work the next day, you're not tired, you're floating, man. You know what I'm saying? It's incredible. But God says, no, I'm commanding you to love her. Now listen to me. God in his word, men, he just gave us the greatest truths in the universe concerning marriage. Your woman, your wife, is not only unique, fearfully, wonderfully made, but God says this, I made her, I created her, but I created her to be loved only one way. Now, there are only two ways that a husband can love his wife. You're either going to love her your way, or you're going to love her God's way. May I tell you that God's way is better? Amen. And your wife will agree with that. Now listen, what is really exciting is that God created woman to experience in her life, in her marriage, the highest kind of love. It tells us how. Husbands, love your wives. That is a command from Almighty God. It is not a suggestion. It is something that you have to grow into. You have to learn, guys. You have to prepare for it right now if you're not married and if you're going to be married. Now, it tells us how to love our wives. But here's the deal. I have to stop just for a moment right here concerning verse 25. For if you do not obey the command of verse 25 there, you cannot obey it unless you know something, and that is this, that you have to know what it means where it says you love her just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Now listen, how can you love your wife the right way unless you open up God's word and find out how Jesus truly loved us and loved the church, amen, and died for it? You see, you have to get that under your belt. Jesus, man, he is our example, okay? Jesus willingly died for me and you, amen? He willingly went to the cross. He, of his own volition, he tasted death for everyone. He wanted to die for the joy that was set before him. He endured the shame of the cross. We are the joy that was set before him, the church, the bride of Christ. And this is that self-sacrificial love. And you know what? He tasted death. He took the sin of the world, yet he was sinless. Now listen, the Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God proves or demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now listen, there it is. Listen to me, men. Wasn't that easy? He just told you what to do. I mean, we don't have any guesswork. We have the perfect role model, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I mean, listen, why is it difficult to do that? See, listen, true headship on the men's part means this. If you love your wife comes first, not you. Boy, don't you hate that? That's right. It's not about you. You think it's about you, but it's all about her. Why? Because you're going to love her like Jesus loved the church and gave himself for this sacrificial love. That means that you would willingly die for your wife. It means that the welfare of the wife comes before your welfare. Isn't this good? Come on, husbands. This is exactly what it means. Listen to me now. Talk about headship. When did Jesus become the head of the church? When he died for it. Are you with me? Okay, so he's our example. So your headship means, you know what? I have a sacrificial love for my family, for my wife. I'm going to obey the Lord. So husbands, listen, you can only provide true headship when you rule by agapeo, or agape, the love of God that's in your heart. Now listen to me. If you neglect, whether you don't learn how, you don't obey this command, or you put it aside, you go into marriage, I love the Lord, I'm saved, but I'm going to do marriage my own way. You don't obey that command. Husband, listen to me. Number one, you're out of the will of God. Number two, your headship, you are out of divine order. Number three, you're no longer walking worthy of your calling. And that tells me that if you do not obey verse 25 with a happy heart, it means that your marriage is out of balance. Your home will one day be out of balance, and the spiritual atmosphere, which is always set by the husband, the spiritual atmosphere of your home will be completely out of balance. And it means, men, that you are now building your whole marriage, which goes on and on. You're building it on sand, and you will not endure the attacks and the storms that come into your marriage. You may endure for 3 or 4 years, but then when all hell breaks loose, you're not going to know what to do because you built it on sand, and sand will never support a marriage. It takes the rock of Christ. Amen? Very, very important. So husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, gave himself for it, you know, his bride, we're the bride of Christ, and look why. That he, meaning Jesus, our Lord, might sanctify or set apart and cleanse her, the bride, with the washing of the water by the word. Now listen, the agapeo, the love of God does something. It transforms. It'll transform your marriage. It'll transform the church. It'll transform you. It'll transform your wife. That's why we have to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And that word washing there is used only here and one other place in the New Testament, and that is in Titus 3:5. And it's talking about regeneration. It is not in any way, the washing here has nothing to do with water baptism, okay? Matter of fact, it says the washing of the word. Psalm 119:9, how can a young man cleanse his way? It says, by taking heed according to thy word. So that washing of the water by the word. You know, washing there, the Greek, if you looked it up, it would simply be a basin where you would go and you would wash, okay? So, you know, Paul, I'm assuming here, and I think he is doing this, I think he is referring to the first century practice of before marriage occurred, the bride would go and do something. She would go take a very good bath, okay? Does that make sense? I hope that's still being practiced today. Now, listen, in ancient Greece, listen to this history. In ancient Greece, a bride-to-be would be taken down to a river to be bathed and ceremonially cleansed from every defilement of her past life. Whatever her life had been before, it was now symbolically purified, and she would enter the marriage without any moral or social blemish. The past was completely washed away. Does that sound familiar? The washing of the water by the word, the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. God remembers our sin no more. Amen. Our past is gone. We are in Christ Jesus. Our sin debt has been paid. The reason I said all that was this. You know, when I do counseling, whether it's marriage counseling, premarital counseling, I always talk about this. I tell the couple, what happened before you guys were married, leave it alone. Let it die. It's under the blood of Jesus. Why would you resurrect something that God has already cleansed and God has already forgotten? Amen? Yeah, so I always tell them, listen, take your past baggage and dump it. Get the trash out. Talk about it now and never talk about it again because it'll never do you any good. Amen? I also tell them something else. That you know what? You need to love your wife, love your husband. We all have faults, but more than that, like I always tell them, do you have a red flag with your husband? Oh, no, he's perfect. No, he's not. Now, see, I can't see your faces, so I can't read you. I don't know if you're smiling or going, I hate this, you know? So this puts me at a disadvantage, you see, because I just see a bunch of masks. If you ever counsel a couple that before they're married, they sit right there on that couch. They're so close together, I have to pry them apart. You know, touching one or kissing. Don't do that. I'm counseling you. You know? Yeah. You know what I mean? No. And I say, here's what we have to do. Now, you're getting ready to step into a brand new beginning together. So here's what we need to do. Let's get rid right now of any red flags that you might have right now. In other words, when you look at him, I know you love him. Oh, he's perfect, but there's some things that you can't stand about him, and you're saying, you wait till I'm married. When I marry him, I'm going to get him right. No, you get him right, and you get yourself right now. Amen? See, that's what we're supposed to do. And it says here that he, meaning Jesus, might, talking about the church now, we're the bride. There's a comparison between our marriage and marriage of the body of Christ. That Jesus might sanctify, set it apart, cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word. Now, that word there are two words in Greek for the word. One is logos. Logos is the written word, which is more powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen? Now, rhema is the spoken word. In other words, rhema is when the information, the logos, the information comes alive by the power of the Holy Spirit, and it turns into what we call rhema, the spoken word, a living now in our hearts. No different when Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema, or every word of God. Amen? Now, with all that being said, husbands, listen to me. You see what Jesus says he's done to the church, to us? You need to speak God's word over your wife. You need to tell your wife who she is in Jesus Christ. And you do that by washing her. Does that make sense? You wash her with the word of God every day. You talk to her. Listen, you wash away if she has doubts or fears. You are the spiritual leader in your home. You don't want the enemy to come into your home. You want nothing to harm your wife, your children. That means that you have to communicate to her the right way. Ephesians 4:16, you have to speak the truth in love. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So the husband, your job, because you love her, man, is to speak life to your mate, to your spouse. You're one flesh, loved one. Lay hands on your wife every morning before you depart for work or whatever, but do something. You know, it means you also, if you're going to wash your wife with the Word of God, it means you have to be a student of the Word of God. You have to have time in prayer and so forth. So you wash your wife, which means that you build her up. You never tear her down. I always tell the guys, you know, I say, listen, go read the Song of Solomon. You know what I mean? I mean, your lines, you know, the lines that guys use, you know, oh, baby, you're perfect, you know what I mean? You're wonderful. And I tell you, you need to memorize the Song of Solomon, men. And, you know, Solomon, he knew something about women. Okay. Yes. Matter of fact, let me read something to you. And I don't know if you know this or not, but the Song of Solomon, you know, was forbidden. A woman wasn't even allowed to read it. And a man had to be at least 30 to read it. Now, Jewish man, listen, here's how you wash your wife. Learn from me, guys. Okay, you ready? Here it goes. Song of Solomon 1:9. It says, I have compared you, meaning the wife. I've compared you to my love, to my filly. Now, that's a mare. That's a horse, okay? You know, in other words, you think Solomon saying, you know what? You look like my horse. That turned wives on back then, okay? I don't know. It says, to my filly, oh, among Pharaoh's chariots. In other words, you, boy, you something. He says, your cheeks are lovely ornaments. Those earrings that you're wearing, man, they light up your cheeks. And he says, and oh, your neck with the chains of gold. So he really knows how to lay one on. You know what I'm saying? See, he's washing her. Now, whenever I quote this scripture to my wife, it moves her deeply, completely away from me. No, listen. No. When it says, I've compared you to my filly, my horse, what is he saying? Among the chariots of Egypt, he's saying you're like a queen. He's saying you're the finest horses in the world. Their strength and your inner strength is unbelievable. You see how he builds her up? See, the Bible says in Proverbs 5:18, guys, it says, rejoice with the wife of your youth. But more than that, keep rejoicing with your wife through all of the years. Matter of fact, some of my counsel to men sometimes, I say, chase her. You remember how you chased her before you married her? Now, chase her through the house. And, you know, wives, it will not hurt you to maybe wash your husband, to give him a bath, you know. This is what Becky does for me after she has the rose petals all laid out. You know, when I arrive home and I see those rose petals, I know she's getting ready to talk to me, okay? She says something like this, Song of Solomon 5:11. The Shulamite says to Solomon, oh, his head is like the finest gold. His locks, his hair, oh, they're waved and black as a raven. His eyes are like doves by the rivers of waters and they're washed in milk. I love the way you look at me, Billy. That's what she said.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time for today, but Pastor Bill will complete this message on our Monday broadcast. So please tune in again, won't you? My name is Brian Whitaker. For Pastor Bill, thank you for listening to Love Never Fails. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.